This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Darkest studio in the on the planet. And I don't mean light. It's the heaviest subjects going on in here right now. Need to cleanse it. I need some sage, something. It's very heavy. It's Friday. My God.
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th. That's true.
Yeah.
These are Monday talks or Tuesday talks. All right. Reset it.
Ha 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 ha. Fun. Ha 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 ha. Friday. It's fun. We're all in a great mood.
I need something. I need something fun.
It's about 5 minutes of death.
Death and plane crashes. All right. I'm over it.
Yeah.
How do we get back?
Well, we can laugh at the San Francisco Giants, who lost for the second time this season to the Colorado Rockies. Seems like a loss.
The second time. We only lost once.
We've only lost once. They've lost now twice. They nearly lost all three.
Was that a four game? No. They won two or three, I thought.
They did. But they had to come from behind at the end in both the first two games.
But those count as wins.
Yeah, but I mean, they could have easily lost all three of the
games.
But
you said they lost twice.
No, well, they lost in the first series.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, this is the second series they played. They lost their first game. Then I believe they won five in a row, and now they lost their most recent game on a walk-off. The first walk-off win of the season for the Colorado Rockies. Orlando Arcia capped a three-run ninth inning with a walk-off two-run single off Randy Rodriguez. Remember how nasty he was against the Padres, but he got some deep counts, walked a couple of guys. His pitch count was climbing up above 40, and Bob Melvin left him in to try to get the save. They were still up by one. Couldn't get it done, and Colorado's win actually prevented the Giants from moving into a first-place tie with the Dodgers in the NL West. So as we head into this weekend with the Padres going to Arizona and the Giants going to be facing the Dodgers for three games, you now have the Dodgers in first place, one game ahead of the Giants, and two games ahead of the San Diego Padres. So you still have a very, very tight top of the division in the NL West after the Giants did take two out of three, but did not sweep the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, I mean, we can certainly relate to that, not sweeping the Colorado Rockies. You know, those are the ones you hope don't come back to bite you at the end. But
man, we did say everyone's going to lose probably one or two at some point to the Rockies. You just want to minimize it.
Of course. The NL West continues to be just absolutely insane. Everyone kind of hovering around. We got to handle business against the Snakes because we got the Dodgers next. So seven-game road trip coming up for the Pods. You know, somebody asked in the chat, you take 4-3? Yes, 100%. I mean, I would do dirty things for a 4-3 road trip on this. It's funny, too, because I know we are all in panic land a lot. I get it. I kind of live there sometimes, too. Got 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Saw a Dodger fan yesterday tweeting out, hey, man, the Dodgers are 10-9 in their last 19. Everyone in the West is just float, like just treading water. They're just trying to stay afloat. You'd sign up for 10-9 if you're a Padres fan right now. I feel like, you know, the expectations for the Dodgers, look, at the end of the day, the expectations shift, right? 125 games, they're never going to do that. They don't stay healthy enough to do it. They don't want to stay healthy enough to do it. They're not going to chase it. They just want to get to the dance and have guys healthy when they get there. So, yeah, 10-9 for the Dodgers in their last 19.
The Giants had won seven in a row until yesterday, but six of them were one-run wins.
Right.
Could have gone either way.
How about the Cardinals, another team that we're going to be duking it out for the wild card?
They lost five in a row. They were the hottest team, and now all of a sudden they're not. They were shut out by the Brewers yesterday 6-0, and there's been, I don't want to say some separation, but the Brewers actually passed them in the wild card standing. So you got the Giants, Phillies, and Padres all with 29 losses, all within a game of each other. Those are your three wild card positions right now in the National League. Then you go another 2.5 games back, and it's the Brewers, Cardinals 3 games back, Reds 4, Diamondbacks 4.5. So you have that next group of four teams, and right now those are pretty much your contenders, because then it's another 4 games back to the, you know, the Nationals and the Braves, and they're double digits, almost under 500 at this point. So unless they go on a huge run, they're not really in the mix at the moment. So you got the top three, and then you got the next four who are all looking to, you know, make a push to get up toward the top. But there is a little bit, at least, of separation here. Much too early to say that. And none of those teams are really out of it at this point. We're still in June, but you are starting to see a couple of teams who look more like playoff contenders than other teams. Now, can the Brewers and Cardinals and Reds and Diamondbacks with their pitching injuries, do you think any of those teams are legitimate playoff contenders the rest of the way?
Yeah.
Which ones?
I think the Diamondbacks are.
Even without Zach Gallen. I mean, even without Corbin Burns.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I would have said 3 days ago, probably not. And then they went and swept the Seattle Mariners and got back to 500.
Yeah.
And now I'm scratching my head again.
I think until they're not, they are. This is pretty nuts. A little breaking news in Major League Baseball. So I don't know if you guys saw the story yesterday. Aaron Civale, who is a starter for the Milwaukee Brewers, was asked to move to the bullpen by skipper Pat Murphy. And he said no. He said, I don't want to go to the bullpen. I'm a starter. I'm coming up to where I can actually make some money. Moving me to the bullpen is going to hurt my value moving forward. And actually, he'd been a decent starter for the Brewers since they acquired him. They called up this prospect that started last night, Jacob Mizorowski, who's disgusting. 102-mile-an-hour heater, ridiculous slider. I think he was at 5 no-hit innings until he hurt his ankle. And they had to pull him out in his first start. He's filthy. He's their top prospect. Here's what's interesting. Civale requests a trade because he doesn't want to pitch in the bullpen. They honor his trade today. They just traded him to the Chicago White Sox.
That feels more like a sentence than a trade.
But now, Mizorowski may be hurt. Civale would have been right back in the rotation.
Oh, my God.
Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you wish for. He's okay, now.
Is that that's the guy I saw, I think, John Boy or somebody on
big,
Instagram.
Tall.
They posted a graphic, and it was like, happy birthday. Like, the team posted
Civale,
happy birthday.
Yeah.
And then there was another screenshot, and it was like, Civale has requested a trade, like,
yep,
an hour later.
So now they've got plenty of starting pitchers. They do. And so he did not. They have Woodruff coming back, Nestor Cortez coming back. But he probably would have been right back in the rotation if this kid is out for any amount of time. Katie Wu reported that it was cramping, but I watched him step off the mound and, like, he was kind of hopping after a pitch, like, you know, just like he was amped up or whatever, and he landed on his right ankle and rolled it, and it looked so. Watching somebody roll their ankle is the worst. And then they came and took him out of the game. So I don't know if the cramp caused him to do that, or if he really was cramping, or if his ankle is snapped in half. I have no idea. But if you're
the Brewers and you're once again outperforming expectations
around
on a tiny payroll and hanging around, isn't that maybe the most important team that you keep the vibes like where they need to be? And to have a guy who's, you know, malcontent, who's not happy, who's complaining about his role, they acted quickly. To move on from him.
But here's the thing. They also said, they said the conversations, they made it a point to say the conversations were very, very professional. This was not a thing where I guess the guy was huffing and puffing and beating up Gatorade coolers. He went in and said, look, this is my logic and my reasoning for this. You're going to diminish my value by moving me to the bullpen. I've been good for you guys. They said it was really professional and kind of above board, but it doesn't happen a lot in baseball. It's not something you hear of. You hear it a lot in football. You hear it a lot in basketball. You don't hear a lot of guys demanding a trade, and they honored him. And I do think there's a part of it. I just listened to Pat Murphy on Eric Hosmer's podcast. There's a culture there. And if you're not bought into the culture, and the culture is, you know, you kind of do what we ask you to do, they honored his request, and they sent him to Chicago.
I'm torn because as much as we want to think that this is all about a team game and you can't win without, you know, a certain aspect of coming together. We saw what happened with the Padres when they didn't really have it a couple of years ago. Each of these guys are really independent contractors.
No question about it.
You know, they don't get paid because the other guys win. You know, you can win a World Series, but if you didn't do much for the team, you're not going to cash in on that. You know, they're going to look at your individual numbers more than anything else. Now, playing for a winning team, being a good culture, a glue guy, might be the tie-breaking difference, you know, when you're going on the market, like, oh, you know, maybe I'll get a few dollars more and get to pick my team because I've got a good reputation. But you're not going from a $1 million guy to a $15 million guy because you were a good glue guy on a World Series team. If you're not producing,
yeah, you got to produce.
That's how you get the money. And, you know, Civale has a good point. If he's not, he can't produce in the way that he needs to get the kind of contract that he would be looking for.
But you do, you know, you do wonder now, okay, you have to, you got what you asked for. Now you're not on a contending team anymore. And now you're going to Chicago. You're still pitching for a contract. You're still going to be a free agent after the year. Just go in and do your job, get your work in and try to get paid and, you know, make some more money and go sign somewhere where you feel like they want you, and they're going to give you a little bit more money. I totally understand that perspective. I would rather pitch for the Brewers in the bullpen than be a starter for the White Sox, me personally, right? I'd rather, all right, whatever you guys need, we'll do it. But I'm not in his shoes. I don't know his situation.
It's surprising, though, that, I mean, the White Sox, who are going nowhere, would, I mean, they need pitching just like everybody else does.
He's a rental.
But with so many teams, I mean, the Padres, you know, need pitching depth. The Tigers just lost Jackson Jobe for the season with Tommy John surgery. The Dodgers clearly, you know, need starting pitching. So many contending teams that need pitchers.
They could trade him again, though. They could trade him at the deadline.
They could flip him, for sure.
He comes in and pitches well, and he could get traded at the deadline. And yeah, maybe end up being a decent move. They needed to make him, give him nobody. Get a guy like Savale, maybe get somebody a little bit better at the
deadline. The Mets lost Kodai Senga yesterday to a hamstring injury. They already put him on the IL.
Yeah, it looked pretty serious.
Yeah, they already put him on the IL. He pitched five innings, and they're hot. They won 16 of their last 20 games, beat the Nationals, held on by the skin of their teeth for a 4-3 win. But the Mets, who, you know, got to the NLCS last year, are starting to look like perhaps the class of the National League at the moment. We thought it was going to be the Dodgers. At some point, it probably will be once they get healthy, but at the moment, kind of it's the Mets and the Cubs who have been the class of the National League at this point.
Yeah. Check the standings. Yeah, I'd say that's fair. Yeah.
I mean, Pete Alonso has had an MVP quality season. For a guy that, remember, had trouble getting a contract.
They didn't want to pay him.
Had to settle to come back. Yeah. To the Mets on far less than he was looking to get elsewhere, you know, he's going to have the last laugh because he can opt out right after this year.
I think so.
And, you know, if he continues to put up numbers like this, he will end up a big winner in this equation with what he's doing for the Mets right now.
I'm looking at the overall league standings, and the Mets are the best team in baseball. They lead the Tigers by half a game. God, the Tigers have been really, really good this year.
Tarek Skubal pitched his ass off.
They've been
again
fun to watch
last
too.
Night. They're such a fun, solid team.
It's still a very much National League dominant top. You know, 10 or whatever,
bro,
in Major League Baseball. You got the Tigers and the Yankees have the second and third best records in all of baseball, but it's Mets and then the two American League teams, and then Cubs, Dodgers, Giants, Phillies, Padres.
Bro, Brewers hanging around, Cardinals hanging around, the Reds are hanging around. They're a game over 500 right now. I mean, it's, you know, Diamondbacks are 34-34, fourth in the division, a 500 team. Everyone's hanging around. It's going to be an all out war, you know, the rest of the season. The East is, you know, they got two teams coming out of there. I don't know that the Braves are going to be able to right the ship. 29-38 right now. They're 2-8 in their last 10, Benny. They got to figure it out. They're talking about maybe potentially moving Chris Sale at the deadline, which will net them quite a haul from a team that needs starting pitching. So yeah, I think they're listening, you know, if they don't turn it around very, very soon, they absolutely will be sellers, which would be nuts.
Couple of other finals from yesterday. Cubs did win again, 3-2 over the Pirates. Got home runs from Seiya Suzuki and Pete Crow Armstrong. He's having an all-star year. The Yankees actually kind of did the old punt lineup. No Judge. They decided to give some of their regulars a day off. They won anyway.
1-0
over the Kansas City Royals, who will, by the way, be at Petco Park. We're going to have some tickets to give away for the Padres-Royals series, another pair later in the show. But, you know, they got Bobby Witt Jr., and, you know, they're a fun team to go watch if you're looking for some games to go see play. Royals aren't a bad opponent to go check out. You only get to see them every other year, so they'll be here next weekend in San Diego. Astros beat the White Sox 4-3. Rangers, they're a weird team. They scored 16 in two of their last three games, but pretty much all the other games they don't score at all. But they beat the Twins 16-3, hit six home runs. So Brett Boone is a genius one day and an idiot the next day as the hitting coach for the Texas Rangers.
Clip him saying Brett Boone is an idiot. We'll just piece it together.
Doesn't quite work. And then the Tigers beat the Orioles 4-1 as they continue to roll. But as I mentioned, Jackson Jobe ruled out for the season. Tommy John surgery. That's a blow for sure.
Big time.
You know, they'll still have Tarek Skubal, obviously, but they were counting on hopefully getting Jobe back at some point. And now, obviously, that's not going to happen the rest of the way. Mentioned the Padres giveaway. Let's give away, though. We got some tickets to George Lopez. I know I'm difficult to buy for as a dad for Father's Day. Hey, win some tickets. Give your dad tickets to a comedy show for Father's Day. We're going to give away a pair right now. If you want to be the fifth caller at 833-288-0973, start dialing. George Lopez coming to the San Diego Civic Theater on June 21st. If you don't win them, 833-288-0973. You can get your own tickets at Ticketmaster.com, courtesy of Outback Presents, our final pair this week of George Lopez tickets to give away. We have Don't Do This is coming up in our next segment.
Well, we've got one of our Mount Rushmore Don't Do This people.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, 100%. Also,
I think they named the Hall of Fame, the DDT Hall of Fame for him.
Might be.
No doubt. And then a baseball prank that had me laughing.
A little visual, but
I can explain.
Woodsy's going to enjoy this. We'll get to that all coming up with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Before traffic, though, talk about SDFatLoss.com. Summer is here, and SDFatLoss.com actually reached out, and they wanted to make sure that I let everybody know that even though you think you're not going to want to lose weight over the summer, they make it quite possible. I lost my weight during the middle of summer. In fact, went on vacation, like a huge like barbecue eating vacation, and I still at the end of the 2 months I lost 40 pounds in 60 days. They know how to manage you around an occasional cheat day, an occasional, you know, got to have your summer fun, and still lose weight consistently on their program. It's doctor developed, it's counselor. They follow you along. They give you so much support, and it's based on eating real food. So yeah, you can go to a barbecue and still kind of I have some chicken here, you know, have some grilled veggies there, still have a pretty good time and lose that weight consistently with no injections, no hormones, and no exercise necessary. Find out how by getting a free consultation. Just go online, set it up at SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. Find out how you can lose up to a pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% of your body weight over the summer. And by the way, it won't even be done. Summer won't even be close to over by the time you are done losing the weight in 2 months. Check them out today. Go to SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Got a trio of guests coming up here on a Friday on Ben and Woods. Jordan Schusterman in our final hour. Mike Schilt, the manager's report at 9 o'clock. And Darren Smith going to join us. Talk a little SDFC and more in just a few minutes. First, though, we'll get to Don't Do This. It is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com. For more info, Woods?
I'll get us started. I thought this story, I thought this one had gone away, but it has resurfaced. The terribly sad story of former Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs, who passed away of an accidental overdose in 2019. Well, Wade Miley's name has been accused, it's brought up in court documents recently, Ben. His agent, Ryan Hamill, said in a deposition that Tyler Skaggs told him he was using pain pills containing oxycodone that were provided by Miley at the time. Remember, Matt Harvey was also named. He actually testified. This is not the first time his name has come up, though, in this. He is not facing criminal charges, though, at this point. But, again, top headline, actually, on ESPN right now is in the baseball section. I don't know what's going to happen to Wade Miley. He is still currently pitching. He signed a one-year deal with the Reds on June 4th. He's made two starts this season. Again, this case, man, is 6 years old, you know, at this point. And I don't know if anything's going to happen to him or not. But again, his name continues to be brought up as somebody that provided pills to Tyler Skaggs before his death.
Right, but, and I don't think he's being accused of necessarily, like, being a drug dealer.
No.
I mean, providing pills can have a lot of different contexts, and I you know, you shouldn't do it. You know, if you have a prescription that's for you, you should not give that those pills to
Correct.
Anyone. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to paint him with a brush that is going to, you know, he probably feels pretty awful about
yeah,
whatever
I would imagine.
You know, role he played in, you know, Tyler Skaggs' you know, tragic
addiction.
Death
yeah.
and addiction. And I'm sure he's had some, you know, moments where he's thought long and hard about this. And, you know, this is just going to make it all kind of drag it right back up to the surface.
100%.
So it's a very sad story. All right, let's go to the Hall of Famer. Clear first ballot, maybe number one wing, own wing of the Hall of Fame. Paulie says they named the DDT Hall of Fame after Antonio Brown.
Don't do this.
I mean, so many things that Antonio Brown, you almost start shrugging like, eh, it's Antonio Brown. This one seems pretty serious.
Law I'll be enforcement. Honest, you guys sent it yesterday, and I saw it was AB. I didn't even click on it. I was like, oh, all right.
No, this one's
another one.
This one's a big one. Law enforcement in Miami-Dade County is seeking the arrest of former NFL wide receiver Antonio Brown on charges of attempted murder. This is information obtained first by the Washington Post. Charges stem from a shooting Brown was allegedly involved in during a celebrity boxing event in Miami last month, according to police details. Gunshots fired at the event hosted by an online streamer. Brown was seen fighting with several people on a social media video prior to the gunshots, and then you could hear the gunshots after the altercation. Apparently, Brown is accused of like grabbing a security guard's gun after the fight, like
yeah.
grabbing the security guard's gun and then shooting toward
like
the people.
Chasing the guy down and shooting
God.
At
him.
So
somebody.
He hit someone. You know, no one was killed, obviously, hence the attempted murder and not actual
murder,
but it's that's a very serious charge that he'll be facing, and just continues the I tried to look like AI, like list of Antonio Brown incidents, and it pretty much broke the system as I was trying to compile the results of everything that Antonio Brown has gone through and controversies he's been involved in through his career and after his career.
Ah, man, it just at some point it's got to be enough, right? Like you got to figure it out how not to be constantly in trouble and constantly in the news.
It makes like getting a fake COVID vaccination card seem like that was a fun one for AB. You know. This one's pretty serious.
You wonder if anything's going to happen to him, right?
I was thinking about that last night. I'm like, how does this story end?
Is it self-defense?
I don't know.
Interesting. This is a little bit more lighthearted for doo-doo.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
I do need to tread lightly. This was incredible, and it actually made it out onto the TV broadcast last night. The Cubs, Benny, were taking on the Pirates, and Seiya Suzuki hit a home run. And he was super excited, got back into the dugout, and they panned to him, and he's dancing, and he's looking down the tunnel. There's the tunnel down to the clubhouse. And he was not playing, I guess, last night. Justin Turner was down the tunnel, and he was celebrating. So they said, oh, this is cool. Two teammates, Justin Turner celebrating his teammate Seiya Suzuki's home run. And Turner raises his arms. We've got the audio.
Our fan of the game brought to you by Mike's Hard Lemonade for the love of lemonade, and it's you, Justin Turner. You are our fan of the game.
Pause. So Woo. It goes to Justin Turner down the tunnel, and he's jumping up and down and dancing. But Ben, he had attached a prosthetic set.
Pair.
Testicles. Rubber in nature. They look like they're made out of rubber, hanging from probably like
D's.
Like D's, yeah.
Yeah, D's.
Tied to his belt, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
And they were slapping back and forth as he was clearly doing it to make his teammate laugh.
He's not.
Yeah, keeping it lighthearted, as baseball players need to do in the course of 162. Now, so they pan to him. You just heard them pan to him. Listen to the deafening silence from Boog Shambi and Jim Deshae after they realized what just made it on.
Fan of the game.
Woo! Woo!
Now to see it. can't even speak.
Mics are off, I guarantee.
Oh, yeah.
Mics are off. They're laughing hysterically.
It's been two pitches. Still nothing.
Still nothing.
That's the first.
You can hear it.
Now, Ryan Preston.
You can hear it. He goes, that's the first. They're done. I mean, I want one day, we've talked to Boog a few times, I have to ask him what went on behind the scenes when you saw Justin Turner dangling those things around. Somebody just said, that's a doo-doo this? 100%. Well, it's hysterical.
Now, you posted earlier this week when he went to the Padres game with Bo on his last day of first grade.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, you've always been there.
Always. First grade. That's where I stopped.
You have a first grade sense of humor.
Who doesn't think that's funny? You don't think that's funny?
All right, it's a little funny.
It's really funny.
It's really funny.
It's funny for me to think of Justin Turner like
going down into his
hiding
locker
him somewhere, like he's got him at the ready or
watch
something.
This.
That is.
Do you just carry those around with you?
Yeah. Keep in his back pocket. Who's the current Padre most likely to do this?
Tyler Wade.
Yeah, no question. I loved it. I thought it was so funny. So funny.
And that's really, really don't and sort of do this. For a Friday.
It's true.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Darren Smith standing by. SDFC returns to MLS play tomorrow. We'll talk soccer, get his thoughts on the Padres, and more coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Was driving through the neighborhood yesterday, heading home, and I saw a one of the moms of the neighborhood lugging in four giant containers of water that had been dropped off out in front of her house. And I thought, man, that used to be me. I don't have to do that anymore. One of the chores I got to take off once we got the Eco Water system in our home. Don't have to bring it in, load it onto the thing, bloop, 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 spill it all the time, always spilled it. But yeah, with the Eco Water system, we have bottled quality water right from every tap in the house. Absolutely tastes delicious, incredible, game changer, skin feels good, coffee's better, the pets get better water, that we wash our food or wash our fruit and vegetables in better water, safer. They'll do a free in-home water test for you today. You'll blow your mind what you have been drinking, taking showers in. Get that free in-home water test today with EcoWater. You can try the Soft Life and alkaline water now, just $9.95 a month. It really does make a difference. Call 760-350-3338 or visit EcoWaterSoCal.com today. Make sure to let them know Woodsy sent you. Not everything in life should be hard, especially your water. They've been keeping it soft at EcoWater since 1925. EcoWater, your water should be perfect.
Just want to quickly address something to the Tier 1 or anybody else who thinks they may have heard me calling in to the Maggie and Perloff show this morning. That was not me. I actually wasn't even listening to, sorry, Maggie and Perloff. I was following early U.S. Open coverage this morning. So someone said they thought they heard me call into the show in the 5 a.m. hour.
Would have been
Ben
hysterical.
From San Diego.
Yeah.
Wasn't me.
I like want you to do that now.
Let's be quite clear. If I ever called into Maggie and Perloff, which I'm not saying that I have or would ever do, I would use a fake name.
Would you?
Oh, yeah.
Perloff, long time, first time.
Hey, Maggie. Yeah, somebody said they were asking for the Mount Olympus. Maybe that's their spin on Mount Rushmore. You tell me, Ben. I don't listen. But they said, and the Ben that called in said Jerry Coleman and Uncle Teddy. So that's weird. Broadcaster, so I connected the dots.
I called into the Jim Rome show once.
Yep.
Waited on hold like an hour and a half. Got on for like 25 seconds. I didn't flame out, but it wasn't a memorable call. I didn't win the huge call of the day.
You didn't. What's up, Rome? Here's what we're gonna do, bro.
Let me tell you about Woods and Corona.
No.
That guy sucks.
Yeah, that bit.
This was before I was in radio myself, so I was
just
still pretty
a kid.
Young. Yeah, I was still kind of just a kid.
What was the topic?
Padres.
Did you get that? We don't like that call.
They were on a run. They
were
like 14 in a row.
Oh.
I think this was 1997 or somewhere around there. And they had like won 14 in a row. And they were making a run in August of that year.
Was he crapping on the Padres?
No. Oh, he was like talking about
them,
hyping them up.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll call in. I'm a Padres fan. Let's give my excuse to finally call a national radio show.
Were you so nervous?
A little bit.
When he went to you?
Oh, I've done it. Pretty nervous.
No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
LT. So I went to his show, except he didn't really take that many calls when he had his show. Don Smith.
Not many at all.
He's going to join us when we come back.
Let's ask him about that. All right,
after a check of traffic
start.
Here on 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, not a lot of open phone Fridays on the Darren Smith show, to my recollection. But did Darren Smith ever call into shows
when
he was
on.
Growing up?
Stop.
What?
Darren, 20 years in radio here. Over under 14 calls in 20 years.
It's close. It's close. It's right there. I would say I would always take a call from Ben Higgins, though.
Ben and Encinitas, rack him.
Rack him off.
Rack him. I got a rack, Ben. Did you have a take? Don't suck.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, we don't take a ton. Every now and then we'll open it up just to change things up. It gets formulaic. You know how it goes. You know, and you're like, all right, let's hear from these guys. And then about 5 minutes after you do it, we go to break. And I go, that's why we don't take calls. about 99% of the time. We've had a couple of really good ones. But
yeah, I mean, there's always some good ones. I think there's always reasons to do it. You know, I think sometimes, you know, giving people the opportunity to vent is always a good platform. You know, I can remember one of the most impactful days that we ever had, not to drag the subject matter down, was when the Chargers left.
Yes.
Or
got
know,
to.
After... Yeah, and, people need an outlet. You know, people need a way to get their thoughts out, even if, you know, they're struggling to put it together. Obviously, we've been on the air for some really tough days, like the passing of Jerry Coleman.
Peter Seidler.
Of Tony Gwynn and Peter Seidler. And you know, I think that's...
Junior.
You know, it becomes a little bit of a responsibility, I think, to be that kind of forum. But, you know, just to do it because you got nothing better to talk about, I think, is kind of lame. It can be kind of lame. And oftentimes that's exactly what it turns into be, unless Ben Higgins is calling.
No question. Or the lady that's calling to tell you about her conjugal visit that she did, which was still my favorite call of all time. Anybody ever do a conjugal visit? She's like, yes, I did.
Yeah, that's my favorite. When we throw out something as random as that, like, hey, if anybody has ever experienced this, we would love to hear your story.
Like,
call in.
My husband was in prison, and I went and did the whole thing.
When Tom Fordham called in on Big League Wednesday.
That's right.
That was
fun.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Yeah. I mean, I will admit, like, I remember overnight radio doing it to Steve Summers at WFAN, you know, like 4 a.m, you know, being like, hey, what do you think about the Knicks? You know, like, just
so
because there's nothing better to do.
I did a lot of the dedications. I called the music stations. Hey, this is Steve. Could you play Waiting for a Girl Like You for Kim, please? And then you let her know that it's coming.
Right.
You record it so they hear it.
Hey, turn on a 97.3
yeah, exactly.
Or trying to make a request and then trying to record the song.
Always.
Yeah, just put it, and
always.
I have my finger on the play and the record. So
it's
I'm
the worst. These kids have no idea how easy they have. I want to listen to blank. Just type it in if it's right there, man. We had to work for it, buddy.
We did, man. He's just to sit there and wait. On the edge of your seat for this song, be like, nope, not it.
Nope.
I'll wait, next song.
So how's everything, man? We texted a little bit this week about the friendly that SDFC absolutely dominated. You kind of gave me some good insight as to, you know, why that game was important. And, you know, we know that, you know, the other team didn't bring their best players, and that's fine. But these guys for SDFC were really grinding for some to be noticed and to earn some more minutes. And in your opinion, did some guys do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's not like we had the A squad out there either.
Right.
You know, when
right.
you look at some of the ages of the people that were playing for Club America, you know, I actually have it in front of me. It's, you know, like 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds. But, you know, the guys that were in our starting 11 were 19, 19, 21, 21, 20, 22, 24. So, you know, it's not like we, you know, had some veteran squad out there. And I think some guys absolutely made the case for more minutes. And it'll be interesting this week when you have players that are returning from Europe. You know, we have 4 or 5 guys that were playing in Denmark and Finland and Northern Africa just over the last couple of days. So, you know, those guys are trying to get back. And now if you're Mikey Vardis, you probably feel pretty good about what it is that you saw this past weekend. So I thought guys really performed well and handled themselves well. And it was a packed house. It was 32,000 people and it's Club America. So, you know, it's not like this was just some day to show up and just be casual. Guys absolutely gave their coach something to think about and made the case that, you know, that they can be trusted. And they played the style that they want to play with. So it was a really, really great night for everybody that was there on Saturday. So, yeah, absolutely. I think some of these guys can be trusted. And I think they're probably going to get some minutes heading into Saturday afternoon, evening against Minnesota.
So this is a pretty big game and stretch here of next two games for SDFC. How important is this? Because Minnesota and SDFC are tied second in the standings with 30 points apiece behind Vancouver, who is going to be the next opponent in a week and a half for SDFC.
Yeah, huge. And, you know, an opportunity now to see how you stack up, right, against the teams. We just did this on the baseball side to an extent. You know, I know the whole measuring stick thing gets a little bit overplayed, but, you know, I think when you, you know, we haven't seen Minnesota yet. And, you know, the teams that SDFC has faced and performed well against, teams like LAFC, Seattle, you know, these were all playoff teams from a year ago, and SDFC did really well against them. So, you know, that was last year. Now you get a chance to see what it looks like up against some of the top competition. And you know, you also have, you know, the situation is now, you know, the international window isn't completely closed. So, you know, SDFC is going to have to play without Luca De La Torre for a while. And they're going to have to play without Anibal Godoy. That's two thirds of your starting midfield. But for Minnesota United, they're going to be playing without their number one goal scorer and without their starting goalkeeper. So these guys are playing in the Gold Cup. They represent countries, Canada, United States, Panama, et cetera. So, you know, not only is it you're going up against the top teams in the Western Conference, but you're also going to have to do it a little bit shorthanded, but so are they. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see, you know, what Minnesota's all about. I'm excited to see what Vancouver's all about. And, oh, by the way, the next three are on the road, too, so we don't have a home game until July 5th. So it'll be another good test, you know, for the team to start the second half.
Darren Smith joins us here on Ben and Woods this morning. And speaking of the Gold Cup, I got to hear what your thoughts are on the U.S. men's national team. Probably frustrating. Making the news always for seemingly for always the wrong reasons, D. Smith.
Yeah. And like, you know, guys, you're not this good to have this kind of drama. You know, this isn't like Kevin Durant and you know, like you're just like, you know, give it a rest already. Like nobody really wants to hear this, especially a year out from the World Cup.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, and I think there's probably some valid points on both sides. I think, you know, some of the stuff and frustration that Landon has expressed, I think has been valid. And I, you know, I also understand the criticism that it comes from Landon Donovan, you know, who took a hiatus and stepped away from the national team or stepped away from soccer, as he put it. You know, so, you know, I mean, I think the thing is, if it was anybody other than Christian Pulisic, you know, it might, you know, people would be like, yeah, why isn't that guy with his team? But yeah, everybody who's been around Christian Pulisic, even somebody like Mikey Varis will tell you, you know, like he's going to be there. You know, he will be there for the World Cup. And, you know, he's not just taking a vacation to go party in the Caribbean. You know, he's a guy that's probably got to get his body right. So I think there are valid points on both sides. But for me, it's just more the frustration of you know, this isn't exactly a product, you know, that everybody embraces. You know, you should be doing more to try to get people on board and unify the fans of the U.S. And instead, it just feels like it's ripping it apart again. And it's not really good for anybody, especially based on the way they're playing.
And let's keep in mind that even if Christian Pulisic had been there, they're not saving U.S. Men's national team from the abysmal performances that we saw, especially the one against Switzerland the other day. I mean, some people saying that was one of the worst performances they've had in decades.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where you're like, well, hey, we just hired this coach. Maybe you should fire this coach, you know, and like kick him to the curb and get this guy out and find somebody that that understands a little bit more about U.S. soccer. And they paid a fortune for this guy, Maurizio Pochettino. So, yeah, it's not good. And you know, maybe Pulisic would help. Or maybe if Pulisic's here, then other guys would be like, okay, now I'm going to invest as well. So, you know, I would love to see him playing. You know, I think it's confusing. He's like, well, I'll go to the friendlies, but I don't want to play in the Gold Cup. You're like, wait, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense. So, you know, the whole thing is very frustrating. And it'd be nice to have somebody in a position of leadership just to, like, get everybody to, you know, shut the F up and like, focus on this really important stretch for the U.S. that we've never had. This is the most important 30 years, and we're blowing it. So, you know, it's frustrating.
Talking about leaders, we got our fearless leader, Mike Schilt, joining the program at 9 a.m., D. Smith. Talk a little Padres baseball. I think we can all agree he's done exactly what you just said that they need for the U.S. men's national team, right? I mean, he's gotten these guys to pull together, to be kind of a scrappy team. It's not the most aesthetically pleasing. I don't like the term smoke and mirrors when it comes to baseball and winning series. It's not. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's good baseball at times. And I like what he's done. Kind of what is your thoughts on how these the last few games have gone? I mean, never boring against the Dodgers. You do feel like you let probably two of those get away.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's fair. I don't think the Padres really played all that great, you know, and obviously the results sort of support that, you know, it was frustrating. You know, even the game that the Padres won, you sort of, I don't know, it felt, you don't ever want to apologize for a 10-run win.
Right.
But, you know, you're like, you know, there's like that psychological warfare of having to watch Kike Hernandez pitch for 2+ innings where it's like, yeah, that wasn't the most satisfying way to win a 10-run game. I agree. Something that Jackson Merrill said, you know, you could tell like he really liked that first game. I thought that was good baseball. I thought it was, you know, an exciting game across the board. There's some things I think, you know, that are confusing to me. I think you guys talked about it a little bit on the roundtable, you know, like just having the script of Randy Vasquez just go 2 times through the order and then be like, okay, well, that's all we wanted out of him. You know, there's still a couple of things I think that, you know, are a little bit unclear, but you know, all in all, I still feel like there's a good team here. I still think it's a good team. You know, they're just not getting performances from guys that you would expect to get to, like Fernando and you know, especially Luis Arraez. So, you know, I still believe in them. I still think that, you know, it's a good team at its core, but, you know, they've got some things that they got to smooth out here and figure out between now and the time when the games like really, really feel like they're much more important, like September, October.
Darren, really appreciate it. Just quickly, would you drop Fernando out of the leadoff spot in the lineup?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't not, you know, and I'm not saying that I would be committed to it, but if I felt like it was the right thing, I wouldn't hesitate to do it. You know what I mean? I wouldn't not do it just because I would be worried about, you know, what his reaction would be. I think, you know, you have valid reasons to do it if you feel strongly that you should do it. And if that's the way you feel, then like you should pull the trigger on that.
Yes.
You know, you shouldn't be hesitant to do it just because you're worried about, you know, whatever the, you know, that it might have some side effect on him or anybody else. And that goes for Luis Arraez too. I wouldn't hesitate to move him down in the order either if I felt like it was in the best interest. I wouldn't worry about that other stuff, but like, you've just got to be committed to it and do it and just be like, hey, this is why we're doing it. And we believe in our decision-making and that's that. And everybody should fall in line.
I tend to agree. Darren, appreciate it. Have
Thank
a great
you,
weekend. Thank you very much.
Thanks guys.
Darren Smith, SDFC broadcaster. They're going to take on Minnesota tomorrow. I think it's like 4:30 or 5:30 tomorrow, Central Time. A big game, second place on the line in the Western Conference standings in MLS. I think I do understand Mike Schilt's love of consistency because it's hard to build that. But you could drop them both, and they both get going, and you feel like, why didn't I do this couple weeks ago?
You know? You can't cry over that. What you need to be strong and resolute in your decisions. And this is why we're doing, like Darren said, this is why we're doing. Also, keep in mind, they're not moving Toddy down to 7, right? Like, he may go from 1 to 2, right? Like,
at this point, no one's going to be accusing Mike Schilt of making,
rash.
You're just pulling something out of a hat, aren't you?
Right.
No, I mean, this would be a well thought out decision if he decides to make a switch.
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
All right. We got still a busy second half of the program coming up, including Take on Woods, a Rindle report in our 8 o'clock hour, all leading up to Mike Schilt at 9. Stay tuned. Ben and Woods continuing next on The Fan.